And our last case for argument is Rudd versus Liberty Life. Mr. Whitley.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel. In Firestone, the U.S. Supreme Court held that benefit challenges under ERISA are subject to de novo review unless discretion is granted by the plan to an administrator or a fiduciary. In this particular case, there is an ERISA plan sponsored by the employer, Anderson Windows Corporation.
Who's the plan administrator?
The plan administrator.
What does the plan itself say about whether the plan administrator has discretion?
Well, that's a question that I have too. And the underlying basis for our appeal here in that this was a summary judgment action in which the defendants are alleging that they are subject to arbitrary and capricious standard of review.
But wait a minute. Is your question who is the plan administrator to, or is it?
We know that the plan administrator is Anderson Windows Corporation.
Okay,
but why aren't you suing them then?
All the administration is done by the insurance company.
Yeah, I had that very strong question because you've either sued somebody with no authority over the administration of the plan, in which case Liberty should instantly leave. Or you've sued the actual plan administrator, in which case you have the right defendant, but they have all that language written in the policy.
Well, I guess I can only answer it in this way. I didn't put the case in suit. I took it over from another attorney after it was transferred to federal court.
Right? That's a terrible answer. You're bound by his decisions.
I understand that. But that, I think, begs the question of whether this defendant has discretionary authority under the plan. And so what discretionary authority are they granted by the plan?
But I want to back up to Judge Rovner's question, because my first two questions, or three questions for you, were number one, is the actual plan in the record before us? Number two, is the summary plan description in the record before us? And number three, maybe if the first two are in the record, how does this Liberty policy, the contract between Liberty and Anderson, fit into those first two? Because it seems to me on summary judgment, it was your client's responsibility to put these documents before the court to show that there was evidence that if properly used, would lead to a victory for you.
The plan is in the record. It's R18, exhibits A and B, which is the affidavit, A, B, and C, which is the affidavit of Mr. Rudd.
Is that a plan? Can't be an affidavit. A plan has to be in writing.
Exhibits A, B, and C are attached to Mr. Rudd's affidavit as true and correct copies of the plan that he received from his employer.
Is the insurance policy itself the ERISA plan here?
It is not.
For sure.
Well, there's no indication that it is. We have an ERISA plan. The ERISA plan says that the definition of disability is this, and it says that the plan is underwritten by Liberty Mutual. But it doesn't give any discretionary authority to Liberty Mutual, nor does it make Liberty Mutual Liberty Life a fiduciary. It doesn't exercise any incidences.
Are you suing under ERISA or are you suing under something else?
We sued under breach of contract initially against Liberty Life. They removed it to federal court, and we sued under ERISA and under breach of contract.
What are you suing under? You say that Liberty Life is not an ERISA plan administrator or a fiduciary. Well, what is its status under ERISA?
It's an insurance company that issued a policy at the request of an ERISA plan. It underwrote a disability plan provided by the employer.
Well, I don't understand you. I mean, what if the ERISA administrator or something, or plan administrator, sent you to a doctor and, you know, he removed the wrong arm or something? You couldn't sue him under ERISA, could you? You can't sue a contractor of an ERISA personage, can you, under ERISA? I don't understand.
Well, then this isn't technically an ERISA case.
Well, what is it? Well, if it's not technically an ERISA case, it doesn't belong in federal court, you know, unless there's diversity or something.
Well, we made this argument to the court below. We said this isn't even an ERISA plan. It's an insurance company.
Well,
I don't understand.
I mean, a question is not an argument. Did you argue to the district court that this did not belong in federal court because it was not an ERISA suit?
Yes, we did. We said that there it should
but
not be removed.
But you're not appealing that, right? You're not complaining about that. You're not complaining that there's no jurisdiction.
We're appealing the finding that this was an ERISA fiduciary able to exercise discretion when it denied benefits.
But you're not complaining that it's... You're not saying it's not an ERISA suit. You're not complaining it's not a suit under the ERISA statute.
That's correct. It's properly under ERISA because...
Well, why is it properly under ERISA? That's my question.
Because even though it's an insurance company, not a plan, it issued a policy through an employer-sponsored benefit plan, and that brings it within the ERISA jurisdiction.
But listen, that's, I mean, maybe another approach. If this employer, as some employers do, had a committee that they called the Plan Administration Committee, and that committee reviewed all applications for disability benefits, and they got medical opinions, and they got whatever they wanted to get, and they decide, we're going to pay Smith's claim, we're going to deny Jones's claim, and then they just send a ministerial order over to Liberty Life and said, these are the claims we want you to pay, and these are the claims we don't want you to pay. That would be one way of doing it. And in that case, Liberty is just a contractor. They're sitting there, you know, kind of holding the money. It'd be like sending an order to your bank.
Third-party administrator.
Any third well, not administrator.
Oh.
That's the line I'm trying to draw. That would be a case where my hypothetical committee is administering the plan, and you've just got this other entity out there that functionally is just holding the money, and they pay when instructed to do so. It doesn't look to me, from your descriptions in the briefs and from the other sides, that that's this case. It looks to me instead as though the plan created, although I haven't seen the plan, unfortunately, delegates to Liberty the administration. You know, people can have third-party administrators, and they often do under ERISA. There are companies that actually are third-party administrators. And if Liberty has been given not only the responsibility of being the pool of money, but also being the gatekeeper, then ERISA would allow you to sue Liberty. They would be a fiduciary. They would have all these responsibilities. But I find the facts very difficult to follow, at least from the briefs, as to what relationships exist.
Well, I concur. And that was part of the problem with the summary judgment procedure was that we argued...
Well, I don't know what a trial would do. I don't
and we asserted
what
that...
What would you get out of a trial? I don't understand that.
We would find out what the relationship between Liberty Life and the ERISA plan is, and
doesn't
we would find out...
Doesn't discovery usually do that? I mean, who has trials to find out such obvious questions?
Sure. I mean, there's going to be a plan. The plan is going to say this plan is administered by so-and-so.
There is a plan.
There's an SPD.
There is a plan. It's part of the record. The plan does not grant discretionary authority to Liberty
no,
Life.
No, don't go to discretionary authority. Who, if it's a company-administered plan, the company may have contracted with somebody else to perform the administration duties. Again, at least just hypothetically. And I don't see why it wasn't your burden to pull all of these documents together, ask for them in discovery, complain if you don't get them in discovery, you know, whatever. Pull all the documents together so that this contractual set of relationships can be before the judge so that he can make an informed decision.
We believe that the proper documents are before the court. We have the plan. We have the definition.
Whom did your client submit his application for benefits to?
He submitted it to Liberty Life pursuant to the
so
terms.
So Liberty, following up on what Judge Wood was asking you, Liberty is the one that makes the determination whether to grant or deny a claim of benefits.
Well, under Liberty's...
No, yes.
Under their policy...
He submits it to Liberty, and Liberty has to determine whether to grant the claim, doesn't it?
You're correct.
Right.
And
so it's the administrator.
Well, the question is whether their decision is subject to de novo.
No, I understand that, but can't we at least agree that Liberty Life is the administrator? And then the question is, because it's an insurance company or for some other reason, should there be a broader scope of review than if these claims were adjudicated by a committee, as Judge Wood was asking?
I can answer your question very succinctly. Yes, it made the decision. No, it is not an administrator as defined by ERISA. In the general sense, it's an administrator, but not as defined by ERISA.
Why should that make a difference to our review?
Because it defines the standard of review, whether it's de novo or arbitrary and capricious, as to whether it is properly an administrator or fiduciary under the legal standard.
Why would we want to create a situation? Maybe we do, but is there a reason why we would want... companies or pension funds that wanted the benefit of deferential review not to use insurance companies, but instead do it themselves. That's the logic of your argument. If you use an insurance company, you have a more searching standard of judicial review.
I can answer that question succinctly, too, and quickly. I see I'm out of time. There's nothing wrong with using an insurance company to provide benefits under an ERISA plan. The question is whether you're going to give the discretion for the fox to guard the chicken coop or not. And if you're going to
The fox guarding, who is the fox?
Well, the insurance company that has no relationship with the employees who are the beneficiaries under the plan.
Well, why is the relation different from the plan committee?
Because the plan committee is working with and for the employees.
No, it's a
usually
trust.
The employer.
It's a trustee. It's a trust set up by the employer.
Right.
Well, what difference does it make whether the employer does this itself or has an insurance company do it?
Because the insurance company has no interest in the welfare of the employees, whereas
well,
a trust...
Well, the employer, right? It's the employer... The employer has to balance the interest in minimizing benefits against the, bad will of the employees if it doesn't honor a valid claim. So if it hires an insurance company to do that, doesn't it want the insurance company to apply the same principles that it would apply itself?
It may want that, but the question is whether it has delegated the discretion and therefore subjected the insurance company to a different standard of review. And so, I mean, the ultimate question here is, do we have an opportunity to look at the decision de novo or under arbitrary and capricious based on what the plan did or didn't do? And here it didn't delegate that authority. Therefore, it retains it. And therefore, the standard should be de novo.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Whitman.
Thank you.
Ms. Schmidt?
I just checked the clock, so I think I can still say good morning, judges, counsel. My name is Pam Schmidt, here on behalf of Liberty Life Assurance Company.
Who's the plan administrator?
The plan administrator is Anderson Window Corporation, and you can find that statement in the record. It is attached as Exhibit C to Mr. Rudd's affidavit. Exhibit C is I believe, 2 pages of an SPD, of the summary plan document.
So did Rudd sue the wrong entity when he sued Liberty?
I don't know that he sued an incorrect entity, but I do believe that he did not sue all proper entities. The plan is not a party to this action.
So how
why
can...
Didn't you,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Why didn't you move to dismiss on that basis in the district court?
Frankly, Your Honor, I don't know that the plan is a necessary party. Liberty Life is a proper party. It did make the claims decisions, and it is a plan fiduciary. It controls the assets of at least a significant asset.
Well, you know, this is like Alice in Wonderland.
It's the administrator is a practical matter, isn't it?
What does the plan administrator that's described in Exhibit C to Mr. Rudd's affidavit do if Liberty is doing all these things that it did in this case?
Yeah. Exhibit C states that Anderson Window Corporation is the plan administrator, and I believe, since I don't represent Anderson Windows, I don't really know for sure what it does, but
right,
I believe
it was...
that's
a declarative statement, yeah. But then at that point, it seems that everybody seems to know, you know, that applications for these kinds of benefits go to Liberty. Liberty's the one contacting all these doctors. Liberty's the one making a decision. Yes, you're disabled. No, you're not disabled. You fall in the 24-month period. You're outside. I mean,
absolutely. Liberty was the decision maker and was a fiduciary, and that was the argument that we made below.
So why isn't it the plan administrator? That is, what was the purpose of designating Anderson as the plan administrator?
Again, I would be speculating, but I could make an educated guess that Anderson...
I think you would be curious about such a thing.
Well, I am curious, Your Honor. And I believe that Anderson established the plan, and I believe that Anderson is in charge of administering the plan and the plan documents and supplying documents to its employees who are beneficiaries of the plan, and in that sense is the quote-unquote administrator of the plan.
What makes Liberty a fiduciary? In other words, what assets or property of the plan does Liberty control?
In terms of, and if I could just back into that just a little bit, Exhibit B to Mr. Rudd's affidavit is a plan, but it is the pension plan. It is not the long-term disability plan.
Yeah, that's what I thought, a completely irrelevant plan.
And
right?
So with respect to the long-term disability plan, the asset of that plan is, in fact, Liberty Life Assurance's insurance policy. And Liberty Life controls whether to pay out from that policy or not, and in that respect, it makes those determinations, and in that respect, is a fiduciary of the plan asset.
So does it turn out that we, in fact, don't have the disability plan, the long-term disability plan? Because what's this pension plan have to do with anything?
I have no idea. You do have the policy, the insurance policy.
We have the policy, and we have this little enrollment guide, which is certainly not the plan either.
No, you do not have the plan in the
record. We don't have the plan. I mean, how can we do this without the plan?
Yeah, you do not have the plan. You do have the policy. And, Your Honors, we did remove the case.
Well, it's the policy that states Liberty shall possess the authority to construe the terms of this policy to determine benefit eligibility. Liberty's decisions regarding construction of the terms of this policy and benefit shall be conclusive and binding. That, of course, is the standard... Firestone type language in a plan.
Correct.
Somehow
the
it's in the policy.
Yes, it is in the policy.
So,
and for all we know, it's carried over from the plan or whatever. Without the plan in front of us, we don't know where that language came from.
But
if it's in
know,
the plan too, then this case looks maybe different. I don't know.
Right. We do know that it is in the policy. The case is also before the court. It was removed on two bases, both ERISA and diversity.
It was removed on
both grounds. Yes. And I think regardless of whether it is an ERISA case as such
or a breach of contract case,
you would then look to the language in the policy which grants Liberty that discretion. And then when you look at the factual information provided by Mr. Rudd to Liberty in making its determinations, I think that Liberty made the fair determination, and Judge Shabazz was correct in determining that Liberty Life made a reasonable determination under the information available to it, and that Liberty Life also went not only searched the information provided to it by Mr. Rudd, but also had the information reviewed by independent and in-house experts before reaching its determination.
You know, Judge Shabazz thought all of this was reasonable, but your interpretation of the partial disability provision seems counterintuitive. You seem to be arguing, maybe I'm not getting it, but you seem to be arguing that you will consider a worker disabled if he is employed but earning less than 80% of prior salary. And at the same time, a worker who is unemployed is not considered disabled. I mean, where's the logic?
The difference there, Your Honor, is in the case that we have with Mr. Rudd, is he's applied for long-term disability. And that's one definition, and it does not incorporate this earning less than 80%. That's a definition of partial disability, and Mr. Rudd simply has not applied for the partial disability benefit under the policy. Had Mr. And I don't think he's eligible, frankly, at this point, because there's no evidence he is employed. So we, you know, there we're just off guessing as to whether or not he would or would not make 80%. The issue that Liberty considered and that Judge Shabazz reviewed was, is Mr. Rudd totally disabled? Is he entitled to long-term disability beyond the initial 24 months? In the initial 24 months of disability, he only has to establish that he is disabled from his own occupation. After 24 months, in order to remain eligible, he has to demonstrate that he is disabled from all gainful employment. And the fact that he could earn some money, as demonstrated by vocational analysis, shows that he is not totally disabled, entitled to the long-term disability benefits beyond the 24 initial months. If he makes an application for partial disability, we go back and redetermine that. But that was not what the application to Liberty was. It was not the decision Liberty made.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Schmidt. Mr. Whitley, I think his time expired. We'll give you a minute if you have anything further you'd like to say.
It could help us.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I want to direct the Court's attention to the affidavit of Mr. Rudd, Exhibit A, which is the benefits enrollment guide that was discussed. That contains a definition of disability, not partial disability, but full disability, that says that you're disabled if you cannot earn at least 80% of what you were earning before.
But it says, in general, a disability is that. And then it also says something to the effect of, you know, check the plan. So I'm not sure, you know, one of these informal enrollment guides for employees is enough to make to change what we just heard about the applicability of that definition to long-term.
Well, I don't know that it's enough to change it, but it's enough to ask more questions and obtain all the information before making a summary judgment determination. The insurance policy is not an ERISA plan. It's a policy, and it apparently doesn't even comport with the terms of the actual plan language that we see in Exhibit A, which
Why
references
didn't
the plan.
Why did you present the plan in to the district court?
This is the plan that we have. I know Your Honor indicated that Exhibit B relates to the pension and retirement plan. This is the plan that was presented to Mr. Rudd as the plan. And it has the long-term disability enrollment guide as part of it. It has this pension part of it. And it has the Exhibit C as part of it. But it doesn't have the insurance policy as part of it, and it doesn't have any other language in it.
So you're saying the plan, the long-term disability plan, is in the record?
The plan that we have is in the record. It's attached to Mr. Rudd's affidavit. And
well, what do you mean the plan we have? Is it the plan that governs his employment?
Yes.
It's the one labeled pension plan, but it's, you say even though it's called the pension plan, it also covers long-term disability?
Yes, it's Exhibit B. It's Exhibit, the last page of Exhibit B, the general information provision setting forth who the administrator is, who the trustees are, and it's the Exhibit A, which is the benefits enrollment guide for long-term disability, stating that Liberty Mutual is the underwriter.
And so it does refer to the Liberty policy
as being the underwriter, but nowhere does it grant them any discretion. The only discretion we find is in the policy itself, and that is not the plan.
Ms. Schmidt, let me just ask you, is that correct that the pension plan and the record contains the long-term disability?
I believe the only thing in the record concerning long-term disability things are Exhibit C, which is...
Well, why don't you come to the podium, because I'm having trouble hearing you...
Thank you. I believe the only things in the record relating to the long-term disability plan are Exhibit C, which contains an excerpt, because it says page 38 at the bottom, so it's not, it's clearly not the full document, but it's at least one page of the summary plan document for the long-term disability policy. And then attached to Ms. McGee's affidavit is the insurance policy, which forms the assets of the plan.
Yeah, but is what Mr. Whitley just represented to us all that Mr. Rudd received?
I don't represent Anderson. Anderson was not a party. No discovery was taken on that matter by Mr. Whitley. I don't know what Mr. Rudd received from his employer.
But Mr. Whitley did say that the entire pension plan with the disability provisions in it and a reference to Liberty Life as the underwriter is in the record. Is that correct?
I did hear him say that. I don't agree with him, but I did hear him say that.
You just are not aware of it.
Pardon? I didn't hear you.
You don't disagree with him?
I do disagree.
You do?
You think it's not
in the record?
I believe that the full plan is not in the record.
Okay. Well, we'll look. Okay. Well, thank you very much to both
thank
of you.
Thank you.
And court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.
Is there a way we could get the full plan?